Today's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 19. Please follow it in your Bibles if you're able to do so. But if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? Then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he didn't raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Some stains never really disappear. However much we wash them and wash them, they never fully go. They may fade over time, but you can still kind of see the outline of them. So too in our lives. There are things that we've done that are like stains that never fully go away, or that's how it feels. Things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, harsh words that we've spoken, sarcastic tones that we've used, exploding in anger at someone, and then saying, oh, we didn't mean it, but the damage is done. And then there are things that we should have done but we didn't do. Kind words that we didn't say. Injustices that we never stood up for. Even minor ones, people being spoken about behind their backs, and we never said anything. We just kept quiet. And the result can be a lot of relationships which are damaged and in some cases completely broken. And those stains can stick with us. And they can feel like they never really fade. There is great news in the passage that we're going to be looking at today. Today we're thinking about the first of the implications of the resurrection of Jesus. Last week we thought about, did it really happen? What's the evidence for Jesus actually having risen from the dead? And this week we're thinking about the first of the implications. And the first one is this: sin is dealt with. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about sin. All those things that we did but shouldn't have done, and should have done but didn't, they're all what the Bible would call sin. And what we're saying is sin matters to us. And the Bible says sin matters to God as well. Now we're going to think about one verse from 1 Corinthians 15. And in that verse, we're going to see that actually because the resurrection of Jesus happened, we can be completely forgiven. All of our sin can be completely washed away. Now that one verse is verse 17. And it says this: and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Now, we need to understand that Paul is in the middle of an argument here where he's trying to deal with a problem that the Corinthians had. You see, some of them were saying there's no resurrection. And Paul is dealing with that. And he's saying, do you understand the implications of what you're talking about? If there's no resurrection, he's saying, then Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. And so, verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, what's the result? Your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. You see, Paul is making this connection. He's saying, Jesus, if he hasn't been raised from the dead, then you're still in your sins. Or you could flip it around the other way. If Jesus has been raised from the dead, then sins are dealt with. Now, that's what I want us to focus on this morning, to understand that link. But in order to understand that, we've got a few steps to take. We've got three steps to take. And the first is this. Sin deserves death. Now, that may not be a connection that you automatically make, but the Bible does make the connection between sin and death over and over again, that sin deserves death. If you'd been alive in Old Testament times and been one of God's people, you would have known this connection really well, because God set up a system that reinforced the fact that sin deserves death. You see, God had told his people his commandments. He told them how to live. And Jesus summarized those commandments by saying this. You could sum them up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. That sums up the law. But when God's people disobeyed the law, when they didn't love him and when they didn't love one another, they were told to go to the temple. And they were to take to the temple an animal. Now, I don't have an animal to bring in, but I do have Angus. Now, they were to take an animal to the temple. And the person who'd sinned, who disobeyed God, was to place their hand on the animal, which showed that the animal was their representative, was their substitute. The animal was in place of them. And the priest was then to take the animal. Now, what would they do with the animal? Well, they didn't send it to the corner to think about sin and spend some time there. Nor did the priest just tell off the animal. No, the priest was to kill the animal. You're all right, you're safe, Angus. The priest was to kill the animal. And by that means, everyone knew sin deserved death, because if you sinned, you took the animal and it was killed in your place. Paul in the New Testament summarizes it really concisely. He says, the wages of sin is death. Sin deserves death. Now, you may struggle with that. You may think, well, that feels a bit harsh. Sin deserving death? Well, a couple of things to say about that. The first is that the Bible tells us that God is the one who gives life. Everyone who is alive, including you, has received a gift from God. Your life. And therefore, it's not wrong for God to take life. And if we reject God, it's only fair that God actually stops giving us his gifts. The other thing to say is, well, actually, in the end, it doesn't really matter whether we like the fact that sin deserves death. The fact that God says it deserves death is really what matters. After all, I might not like the fact that parking on double yellow lines means I get fined. But actually, whether I like it or not makes no difference whatsoever. If I park on the double yellow lines, I'm going to get fined. So too with sin and death. Actually, God says sin does deserve death. Now, we also need to see that sin and death, it's not a one-to-one sort of correlation. It's not that if someone is particularly bad, that's why they've died. No, it's a bit more general than that. The fact that we as mankind sin against God means there's death in the world. So that's the first step. Sin deserves death. Now, the second step is Christ died for sin. We see this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. If you just turn back the page, if you're still in 1 Corinthians 15, well done. Verse 3 says this. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. When Christ died on the cross, he was dying for sins. You see, the Old Testament temple didn't actually deal with sin. It didn't really deal with the stains. Those animals killed couldn't actually deal with sin. But then along came Jesus. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was saying, here's the man who's really going to deal with sin. But how would Jesus deal with sin? Well, the temple tells us, the Old Testament tells us, sin and death go together. If Jesus is going to deal with sin, he's going to have to die. And that's what he does. When he died on the cross, he shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, you see, was punishing Jesus with death for our sin. Now, that is a staggering thing that Jesus did. We hear lots these days of many courageous acts that people are doing. People who are putting themselves at risk for the sake of others. We know of key workers, don't we? We see them on the news who are putting their lives on the line, who are risking their lives to care for those suffering from coronavirus. And we know there are some in our church family who are doing that. And we should be really thankful to them for what they're doing. And sadly, we know as well in the news that there are some of those key workers who've died because they were prepared to risk their lives for the sake of others. When Jesus came, he didn't just risk his life for our sake. He knew that to deal with sin, he would have to die. And he came anyway, dying for us to take our sin. And that is a staggering thing that Jesus did. It should move us to thank him and to praise him for dying for us. But that's only step two. Now, you see, you might think, well, yeah, I think I know this already. If you've been coming to Emmanuel, I would hope that all this is familiar, that sin deserves death and that Christ died for sins. But the next step may be a bit less familiar. You see, the next step is this. If Christ really dealt with sin, he couldn't stay dead. This is where we go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. And you might be thinking, well, it's about time we were supposed to be focusing on this. But I hope that you'll see the logic of this in the light of the previous steps. You see, verse 17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." See, it's saying that Jesus had to rise. If he didn't rise, you'd still be in your sin. You see, if Jesus had died but hadn't risen to life again, it can only mean there is still sin on him because of that connection between sin and death. If he's still dead, well, sin is still on him. Either he couldn't pay for it, or maybe he had his own sin that needed to be dealt with. Whatever it is, it shows he hadn't got the victory over sin. Because if he's dealt with it, he would have to rise to life again. In Acts, it says that it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That's wonderful. It's like an image of death with talons holding on to Jesus, or trying to, and Jesus slipping out of its grasp because, well, there's no sin on him anymore because he's dealt with our sin. He didn't have any of his own sin to deal with, but he's dealt with ours, and therefore death couldn't keep hold of him, so of course he rises to life again. It is a declaration of victory over sin that he rises to life again. It would be like, and we pray that this will be the case, that there will be a treatment found for coronavirus. Imagine that that was the case. A treatment was found that was 100% effective. And you can imagine on the day when it was proved that this was the case, that there'd maybe on the steps of a hospital, that there would be medics there ready to address the press. And behind them, there could be rows and rows of people who just days before had been seriously ill with coronavirus, but now are completely healthy. And all you would have to do is look at those rows and rows of patients, and you would see that is the declaration that coronavirus had been defeated. All you have to do is to look at Jesus and the risen Lord Jesus to see sin has been defeated. This is life-changing news. If you're not yet a Christian, this means that all your sin, those things that you've done that you shouldn't have done, the things that you should have done but didn't do, those sins, those stains in your life, you can bring them to Jesus and he can fully deal with them. Will you come to Jesus and ask him to take the punishment for you? Ask him that his death would be your death. Of course, if we don't, then our sin is still on us and we still deserve death. And if you're a Christian, will you rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus? Because it shows that you are no longer in your sin. It shows that your sin is fully dealt with. Be aware that your sin is no longer on Jesus. If it were, he'd still be dead. He has dealt with your sin. He's no longer suffering for your sin. It has been fully paid for. And therefore, those sins in your life that you still think of, those sins from the past that you still think of as being a stain on you, know that they have been fully, completely dealt with. That's shown by Jesus rising to life again. And therefore, when you sin, bring your sin to Jesus, confess it to him, say sorry for it, and remember the cross, the sacrifice that Jesus made, that he paid the penalty for you, and then remember the resurrection and think to yourself, my debt has been fully paid. If it weren't the case, Jesus would still be dead. But the fact he is risen to life shows your debt is fully paid. Well, that's the first of our life-changing implications of the resurrection of Jesus. And next week, we're going to think about the second. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you that it shows that he completely dealt with sin. And Father, we pray for those who are not yet Christians watching this, that they would come to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. And we pray for Christians that we would live this week in light of the resurrection, rejoicing that our sin is fully paid for. Amen.